Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Writing Mama Show at BTR's World of Ink Network. Be prepared to call in a little later to chat with myself, V.S. Grenier, and my co-host, Marcia Casper-Cook, and our very special guest today, which is Mariella Kleiner, right here at the World of Ink Network on the Writing Mama Show. And, of course, I'm V.S. Grenier. And just a little bit of background about myself and Marcia. I'm an award-winning editor, children's author, obviously a blog talk host, and workshop speaker and presenter. And Marcia Cook is an agent, author, scriptwriter. She's also a host of her own shows, as one of them is A Good Story is a Good Story on Blog Talk here on the World of Ink Network. And she's also a speaker and a presenter. We'd like to say it's truly an honor to be with you today. It's 3 p.m. here in Utah on April 29th, 2011. And as always, the Writing Mama Show can be listened to live at blogtalkradio.com/World of Ink Network, or you can listen to it on demand anytime you'd like at the same address or on iTunes, which is actually a nice little new feature we have going on. All you have to do is just search World of Ink Network, and you'll find our shows on iTunes. That includes The Writing Mama Show, A Good Story is a Good Story, Stories for Children, and some of our new shows we have coming up in May. We'll be taking calls toward the end of the show. So if you'd like to call in and ask a question of our guest, Mariella Kleiner, you can call in at area code 714-242-5259. Again, that's 714-242-5259. We want to welcome Mariella to the show. I'm going to give you a little background before she says hi. She was born in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and came to the U.S. when she was 10 years old. She's a graduate of UC Berkeley, and actually worked as an advertising for Google, so now you write children's books. We want to welcome to the show, Mariella. You've got an interesting background.
Hi, thanks for having me. See, Virginia, I didn't interrupt you at all. I was good.
Yeah, you were good, Marcia.
I know. I'm listening. I'm trying to listen. Hi, how are you?
Hi. That's our new big, long opening. We're trying to be a little more structured on our show. Just a little, though. Not too much.
Not that much.
Yeah, not that much. Now, you, Mariella, you're involved in quite a few things. You have quite a few projects going on. I know you have a project that you work on with your husband called The Giving Challenge. You which was featured on the Oprah Winfrey Show, so that must have been very exciting. And then you have your book, Meet Einstein, which is why we have you on the show today. And then I know you're involved in quite a few other things. You just want to kind of share with our listeners some of what you do?
Yeah, I'd love to. Actually, first off, and most importantly, I'm a full-time mom. I have two kids right now and going on a third. And so that's keeping me quite busy. But the Giving Challenge is actually something we created a few years ago, and we did it for a bunch of years, and we just got caught up in other projects, so we were not able to keep doing it as much as we wanted to. But it is still up there, givingchallenge.com, and you can check it out. It's a cool project that
What is it?
Well, it's where we gifted our friends and family for the holidays. Instead of giving them gifts, we gave them money. It would have to go toward helping and bettering somebody else's life directly. They had to connect with the person and actually keep track of the experience through creating a video.
Oh.
And wow. And then after a week, they had to submit their video and see how they, and show us how they spent the money. And
wow.
So it was quite a challenge for everybody that took part. And but everybody got a lot out of it, more so than they expected, I think. And so it was a really, really fun thing that we did. But it really took a lot of our time. So we both kind of moved on to different projects in our lives. And, yes, I was also involved locally in the Junior Museum and Zoo here in Palo Alto, and that was great as well. And then I started working on Meet Einstein a few years ago. So that kind of took precedent over a lot of other projects. I can only handle so much at night once my kids go to sleep.
Right, that's the thing. We're all like that. You know, Virginia and I are always talking about that. It's true. There's only 24 hours in the day.
Yeah.
We need 30, yeah. I think.
No, definitely. I would love that.
That's a lot of the reason why we started this show was, you know, my blog is called The Writing Mom. That's why we titled it that. But it's really about the fact, you know, how busy we really all are in this industry and how we balance or try and balance our lives as much as possible. And I love the fact that, you know, the first thing you said is, you know, first and foremost, you're a mother. And, you know, and I'm that way. Marcia's kids are, her son's grown up, but, you know, I have three kids at home and one that graduates in 3 years from high school. And so congratulations, by the way, on the third one. And
yes.
So
oh,
I,
yes.
I,
thank
I,
you.
I,
how are you
know
feeling?
How crazy
are you feeling okay? Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, so far it's been the easiest pregnancy so far, but
oh, great. All right, we got
I'm not claiming anything yet.
Right, you just knock wood is what you do, right?
Yeah, it's not over yet, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But
now,
thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Now, the book that you wrote, and I'm pretty sure a lot of it was inspired by the fact that, you know, of course, you have children and stuff, but... And I want to say, don't you have a background in science as well?
I actually studied, I did all kinds of stuff. In high school, I was part of the first robotics team over here mm-hmm. in my high school, and that was really cool. So I was really into engineering and structure, and I actually went into Berkeley as an architecture major and studied that for a few years until mm-hmm. I changed to do more like marketing, advertising, which was another one of my interests. So that's what I ended up pursuing. But I do have a kind of an interest in that field, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think it's great. And what I love about the Meet Einstein book that you wrote is, you know, a lot of books that you'd hear a title like that and you'd think, oh, it's going to be for middle graders or it's going to be for high school-aged kids. But it's not. This is actually for preschoolers to help them, you know, start learning about science at a young age. And I think it's great because my daughter, she just turned 6 this month, but one of the big things for Christmas this last year when we went for Christmas shopping was I'm like, okay, she has enough Barbie. She has, you know, enough Polly Pocket dolls. She, you know, has a lot of books from me just because being in this industry, I know a lot of writers and I get books sent to me all the time for book reviews and stuff through Stories for Children magazine. And so I looked at my husband like, we need to do something else. And so we actually got her because Crayola offers a few, not a lot, but a few kits for elementary school age kids to do science experiments. And so when I had, because you had been on Blog Talk Radio before on From My Mama's Kitchen with Johnny Tan, mm-hmm. which is how I was able to get in contact with you. I listened to your, you know, was listening to the interview there, and I went and, you know, did my research and then, of course, contacted your publicist. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, this is so great because my daughter loves science, and it's, I love the fact that, you know, I was able to buy a book for her that, you know, I can put with the stuff I got her for Christmas. And it was like only two things that I could even find at her age level for her to even understand.
Yeah.
So, you know, is that kind of what prompted you? Because there's not much out there? Or you just, I'm just kind of curious, like what was kind of the idea behind the Einstein?
Well, what happened was I actually never really thought I would be an author, never meant to be an author or write a children's book.
Right.
It just kind of happened. My daughter was about 2.5 at the time, and that was about 3 years ago. And she went to pick out a bedtime story, and she picked out my husband's copy of Einstein's Relativity book. So, she handed it to him and said, this is what I want to read. And he said, no, it's not a kid's book. Look, there's no pictures. And she insisted, and he said no, and she kept saying yes, and he kept saying no. And eventually I was like, just read it to her. It's okay. So he gave me a crazy look, and I was like, okay. So he sat down, and opened up the book, and really he had no idea what to say. So I sat with him, and I was like, well, this book is about Albert Einstein. And I was like, well, she's never heard of that name before. And I said, well, he's a scientist. And I was like, wow, you know what? She's never heard of that word before. That's completely unfamiliar to her. So it's like, okay,
especially at that age, right?
Exactly. But my husband was teaching science at the time. And even in our home, where we have a scientist, really, we hadn't even talked about it. So it was so shocking to me. So then I went on to explain what a scientist does in a way that she could really understand it, and talked about light and gravity, which are things that Einstein did. And then she was like so excited. She's like, read it again, Mommy. And then I was like, wow, she wants to learn about this. Afterwards, I realized there's not that many books out there, as you mentioned, for this age group, for preschoolers really to, or kindergartners at their level, to introduce them to a really core subject like science.
Right.
So it really hit me at that point that, wow, like, I want this for my kids. So why shouldn't I do this?
Right.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Now, speaking of science and stuff, because that's like one of my big things. I've done a lot with science and history and math, like my three favorite subjects when I was in school. And now that I'm able to be home with my kids, I've been more involved in their schooling. And this year was my daughter's first year at school, and they'll be in kindergarten. And I was kind of shocked that they don't do too much with science and stuff. I mean, they do like simple, you know, easy things like, you know, teach them the colors and how if you mix red and blue, it makes purple, kind of simple experiments like that. But I had actually told her kindergarten teacher about your book, and Ted let her borrow the copy that I had purchased. And, you know, I was really surprised that, you know, they didn't have anything. And this was, you know, kind of mid-year for them at the time. And she told me, oh, wow, I really like this book, and I wish that they would incorporate this stuff. And so, I mean, how important do you think it is for schools to actually sit there and look at kids and say, you know, maybe we need to start introducing science to preschool-age kids, you know, and kindergarten-age kids, and maybe focus on a little bit more in first and second grade? Because it seems like it doesn't really get focused on until about third grade, like really.
Because it probably isn't in the curriculum. That's why, you know, they probably didn't
thinking.
Do that. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's so important, especially, I mean, to me, the earlier the better, and especially at, like, even at 2-3 years old, they're so curious about the world.
Yes, yeah.
They're asking questions really nonstop, and what better way than to use this time to teach them and kind of plant the seed, showing them that science is cool and science is fun and it's exciting and it's kind of everywhere, and I think that's kind of, it's, and give them something they can build on later on. Because after reading the book, kids really do get the concept of gravity, and it's really easy to underestimate what they can grasp, especially at an age where their communication skills are not caught up with their cognitive skills. So, like, they can understand way more than what they can say, right? So,
even with
my kids, I totally underestimate them.
No, I totally agree, and the reason why I say that, especially, is because my 6-year-old, she actually is in speech therapy, and she works as a speech pathologist because she has a very hard time communicating and pronouncing words. So a lot of times people underestimate how smart she is because they can't understand what she's saying, even though she totally knows what's going on around her and wants to express to you. She just, you know, I mean, you think about a baby. I mean, why they cry? They cry out of frustration because they can't tell you what they're thinking.
Exactly.
So, no, I agree with that.
Yeah, I think
every kid develops at their own rate, you know. And that's why you can't really put too much, you know, creed in it, because you have to kind of just let the child develop, because you can't really push a child either. So, but they let you know, I think, sometimes a lot of the things that they want you to know.
Definitely.
You'll know with your own child. If you have 5 children, it's probably different with each child. I would assume. I don't have 5 children, but I think it is. I worked for a pediatrician for years, and parents, you know, would have 5 kids, and they would be completely different, you know, and that's what happens. Some kids develop at a certain rate, and the schools, sometimes they don't, unfortunately, they're not equipped sometimes to really figure out what every kid is good at a young age.
Yeah, well, especially with signs, as you mentioned, I do believe that the kids get a late start. There's no, I realized through writing this book that there's no reason why preschoolers can't learn about a concept like gravity and really get it, actually. And I want to tell you that I was skeptical, and I could understand how adults would be like, oh, well, kids can't really get that. But you know what? I read the book to my daughter for the first time, and then we didn't really read the book for more than 2 months later. So it was quite a bit of time where weren't really talking about it. And then out of the blue during that time, she was laying on the floor with her feet up on the wall and moving up her feet a little bit. And I was like, oh, watch out. You're going to walk all the way up to the ceiling like that. And she's like, Mom, I can't do that. Like, duh, right? And I was like, well, why not? She's like, because of gravity.
Oh, my goodness.
And
I don't
like,
think your daughter's probably not the average child. Most children.
Oh, no. She.
No, I don't think so, because of gravity, I don't think at that age they would know that word. So she's probably taking after you.
That's
probably taking after you, though, too.
No. Well, that's what after reading my book, the kids get it. The kids really get the concept of gravity, and they get it more as a concept that it's kind of everywhere, and it's up in space, and it's in their rooms, and every time something falls, it's because of gravity, and they really are able to grasp that. So if they really have the understanding, then imagine what tools we're giving them to build from as they get older, right? To just understand science and see that everything works for a reason. There's a reason behind everything. And trying to figure it out, which is what scientists do.
Yeah.
Now,
do you go to schools? Do you go to schools and talk to the kids?
I do. I have been. Yeah, I've been going to schools, and I've been doing lots of readings, and they've been so fun, and it's really, really great to see the kids really get it. And get excited about science. Other than wanting to be superheroes and princesses, why shouldn't they want to be scientists when they grow up?
Yes, well, that's true. That's for sure.
Yeah. Now, I'm just curious, Mariela, do you do any type of, just simple experiments when you're there visiting, doing your school visits, you know, do you do or have the kids help you with any type of, you know, experiments so they can kind of, you know, like I know one of my teachers one time, you know, they had us take a regular piece of paper and a watered-up piece of paper and drop them to see which one drops faster. So, do you do anything like that with them so they can kind of see how...
Well, you mean like the concept of gravity, explaining it?
Yeah, the concept of gravity, yeah.
I don't do that because I do think the book is really... It is really basic in that understanding. And it's really as least complicated as you could possibly put it on the page. But actually what I do is, and sometimes my husband comes with me to the readings and dresses up as Einstein, which is really fun for the kids.
Oh, that's cute.
Because he's a real scientist, so he loves that part too. But we actually bring in some science tools and show the kids that, you might have recognized binoculars, and you might have even some of them at home, but do you realize that this is a scientist tool? And scientists use these when they're trying to observe things that are far away and they can't get to them. So it's kind of introducing them to different parts of science and showing them that it's already part of their world.
Right.
And making it accessible and making it fun. It's like, isn't it fun to be a scientist? You get to play with all these fun, cool tools and do experiments. And by the end, all the kids have their hands up that they want to be scientists. So that's the most rewarding part.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it is true about your book. I mean, it's very simple, you know, concept wording. It's not, you know, where there's, you know, a picture on one side and then like paragraphs on the other side of the page trying to explain, you know, the whole theory of relativity and gravity and everything else.
As I read through the book, I do stop almost at every page and explore a little bit of the subject. Like we do like a quote-unquote experiment where we have all the kids stand up and jump really high, you know, jump as high as they can. And on the count of three, we all jump together. And then what happened? Did anybody go up into the sky? Why not? And everybody says, because of gravity. They just get it. And then you nail it in a little bit more in the next few pages, and that's it. That's what they need, and you just plant that seed, and then they start looking at the world just a little differently.
What do the teachers say? I mean, do they mention that they're doing things like this in school at all, or do they just...
No, I mean, I don't know any preschool that's really focusing on, that has a fine
like
curriculum
yeah,
in the first place, but that's really focusing on, like, you know, teaching concepts of this kind.
Yeah.
I guess I just realized that this is very accessible to kids, and there's no reason why we can't introduce science to them at this age. Especially, I think science is so important in education, and I do think it should be pushed harder, and kids be the level that they're taught should be a little higher as well. But I think, and taking advantage of their young age and curiosity, and just they're like little sponges right now, you know, they're really absorbing everything, and they want
to learn.
Well,
maybe if they started younger then, maybe that the kids would actually, when they grow up, they might not like science. I mean, maybe they'd be so used to it, they would really, you know, be interested, and maybe we would have more doctors or things like that, because maybe you could get people interested in it very young. That might help.
Exactly, that's what I'm hoping, that just getting them excited about it, getting them, you know, go home and talk about it, and it's just that excitement, you know. I think all of us grew up, oh, I want to be a firefighter, or I want to be an architect, and at some point, you know, you saw something that made you excited about that career, that wanting to do that. So, you know, perhaps some of them are going home and really it's going to stick to them, that this is something exciting and fun. And, later on it will make it more fun in school to study it, because they already know that it's fun. It's not intimidating.
Right.
Because they've already have some knowledge, some basic knowledge to build from.
Mm-hmm. Now, your book, I want to say, it wasn't traditionally published, right? Didn't you self-publish?
I created my own publishing company. I actually, I didn't really approach publishers to sell it.
It's interesting, because a lot of people do that now. They don't even approach the publishers at all.
Yeah.
They don't.
So what was it like setting up your own, you know, I have my own publishing company, which is Stories for Children Publishing, which is an LLC, but, you know, I do a Stories for Children magazine, and I do SFC newsletter for writers, and I have the Family Matters blog, and, you know, my World of Ink tours, which, you know, encompasses what Marcia and I do here on the World of Ink Network with our radio shows. But I do an anthology for, you know, the best of the best each year from the magazine, but other than that, I don't publish other people's books, so I'm not really into that kind of thing. So what was it like saying, basically setting up a publishing company to be a book publisher? I mean, did you find it to be pretty intense? Did you learn a lot?
Well, since I never wanted to be an author, actually, I kind of stumbled on this accidentally. I didn't know anything about the publishing industry. I didn't really know how it works and what, you know, okay, I have the story. Now I have no idea what to do with it. I guess everybody knows, oh, now you try to get a publisher. But once I started researching into that, you know, I just realized it was really complicated. And I saw it as my own kind of little project I'd been working on writing for a few months at that point. And I had, you know, an attachment, and I saw in my mind what I would want it to look like. And I really, as I started digging into the next steps, the first steps of what to do to get it published, I really realized that the only way, if I approach publishers, I would lose a lot of this, of my project feeling that I had toward this. And so that was the main issue for me, was just making it what I wanted it to be, and not really just to get published, not really to get it out there, and just make this book what I have in my head and make it a reality, and then kind of figure it out from there. So it was really
good idea.
And you've done a great job. I mean, because the illustrations are just, you know, wonderful, and I love even the front cover. I mean, it's such I mean, if anybody's ever seen a picture of Einstein, he is like the perfect cartoon image of him. So, I mean, what was it like to find I mean, since you're so new to the industry, I mean, how did you even go about finding an illustrator?
Oh, my God. Well, that's a great question because I literally was learning as I go along. And
you don't want
as with anything.
What everybody does.
Yeah.
We're all doing that.
Yeah, making lots of mistakes and learning, that's how it works. That's good to know. But with an illustrator, I do have like an artistic background. I really had a picture in my mind of what I wanted, and I went to bookstores and I looked through books and I looked through a lot of online portfolios for some illustrators. But it wasn't really until my mom actually came to my house to play with the kids one day and brought them a book. It was a Wheels on the Bus book, so it wasn't really a story, but it was just playing the song of Wheels on the Bus. But as soon as I saw the illustrations by Viviana Garofoli, I was like, wow, that's it. I have to look her up. And at that point, I'd put the project on hold for a few months. I was working on it on and off if I had time. And that just came out of nowhere. And I was like, wow, this is back on. This is in my mind. I can't get rid of these images because it's exactly what I wanted for my book. And so I looked her up, and her website is just magnificent. It just blew me away.
She's done a lot of work. She has done a lot of work.
She's done magnificent work. And so and I looked her up. Okay, I'm going to I have to call her. I have to talk to her. And she lives in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. So I'm like, this is – what are the odds of that? That's where I'm from, and that's where she lives. And it was just kind of kind of fell into place. And we actually ended up working on the book in Spanish.
Well, is it out in Spanish? It's out in Spanish then?
Oh, it actually, we worked on it, like, you know, giving feedback back and forth in Spanish since I'm fluent as well. But so it ended up working out for me. But the book is will be published by a publisher and coming out later this summer in Latin America and Spain as well in
that's
the Spanish
great.
Language.
That's really good. That's good.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
But
it's
just kind
great.
Of... the illustrator just really fell into place, and it was really important to me to get the Einstein character right. So so that took it was a lot of work back and forth, and even me learning what does it take to work with an illustrator. At the beginning, I thought you just kind of gave them the text and set them free.
Well, you know what, though? That's a funny story because, you know what, that's true because I always thought that, too, for years, because I'm a writer, and I write through words. And illustrators, I'm just really, really putting it together after 17 years. I mean, because when an illustrator does it, they see it their way, and their pictures are what they see, and they want to show it through a picture, and a writer wants to show it through words. And it is difficult to blend sometimes of what you both see. You know, and you were lucky to find somebody that was good, that worked with you.
Yeah, definitely. She was really great. And I wanted to put some humor a little bit in the illustrations as well to make it really fun and make the character really accessible and just somebody that you'd want to meet. So I think it just really fell into place. But it was a trial and error situation where I would really work on it, look at portfolios, and then not do it for a while. And just kind of I waited, and it turned out to kind of fall into place. So in that sense, I'm really lucky and happy to have found such a great illustrator to work with.
Yeah, no, I think
especially
it's
that they're both from the same country. It's very, that's strange in a lot of ways, you know, that you can make that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that is great. Now, is the book available like on? I'm sure it's probably available on Amazon and online.
It's there. Yeah,
bookstores. But I mean, is it a book that, you know, if somebody goes into like the local Borders or Barnes and Noble or wherever, or you know, just their small independent, you know, bookseller, will they be able to, you know, have the owner or the manager of that bookstore go into the database and find you and Ingram so they could get the book ordered into their bookstore?
Yes, okay. Definitely. It is. It should be at the Barnes & Noble near you and at most independents and local bookstores as well. But, you know, there's so many of them. Some of them might not carry it. But it is listed on Ingram and Baker & Taylor. And it's on Amazon as well as available for the Kindle. And hopefully soon the Apple version will be out soon as well.
That's great. Now, what was it like? Because that's one thing I've been looking at, you know, on the magazine side is getting out there on, in, into the iStore and into Kindle. I mean, what was that process kind of like since you did this yourself? I mean, I've talked to so many writers that have told me, you know, oh, you know, unless they're with like a really big traditional publisher, even like a lot of the small and medium publishers haven't all transferred into the Kindle and iStore.
So they're looking
to do it themselves, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is just like, yeah, I can't make heads or tails of this. So what was
no,
that
but you can go to a
like
publisher, and it's not they do it. It's not that hard to do. I mean, they do it, and then they put it in all the different formats in the Kindle, and the e-reader, and the Sony.
Mm-hmm.
You go in all of them, but it isn't that hard. You just have to know how to do it. If you don't know how to do it, it is difficult. I couldn't do it myself. It wasn't what I could do, but the publisher, Fidelity, she did it for, you know, she put my one of my books on there, and I'm going to do the other two I have for children. But they, it looks great when they're on Kindle.
No,
and
I
when
agree. I'm just kind of curious, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Mary Lou didn't have, you know, somebody like Fidelity or like me with Halo Publishing who can do that for me. So I'm just wondering, what was that experience like? Because, I mean, there are some people who are published with, you know, like Lulu or CreateSpace, so they have to kind of do it themselves, the self-publishing,
yeah,
you know, like that.
Yeah, children's books are a little trickier to put on the Kindle.
Yeah, they are. Oh, they are.
Yeah, they're large files, PDFs. The images have to, they can't stretch. They have to be just right and all that stuff. Actually, I'm lucky that my husband's in computer science as well. So he was a very helpful to me.
Yes.
But it is really just about reformatting the files that you have and making them in the format that you know, Amazon wants you to put them in for the Kindle. And it's the same for Apple, really. It's just about saving them as a different file and reformatting them a little bit. So, but I self-taught myself Adobe Illustrator because Viviana sent me the images, literally just the images, and I really just put the whole thing together. So it was really... It just, you know, luckily we have the internet, which is a fountain of information to learn from.
Right.
But it's really quite a learning experience this whole project. So
yeah, do you mind me asking what program you use to actually to format and put your book together? Because I mean, I use Publisher for the magazine, but I know some people, you know, they use InDesign, I think, which is by Adobe. I know there's like a few others, so I'm just kind of curious, you know, what program you use, because there's so many out there.
Yeah, I did use the Adobe Illustrator program.
Okay, so
and I found it, I did some research, and I found that it would be the easiest, most user-friendly version to maybe start out with.
Well, Virginia,
that's what I went with.
Can I do, Virginia? You do so many different things, and you are really talented that way. I really don't think for you it would be difficult because the things that you do regularly in your mag and everything, you can definitely do this because.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
my biggest thing is I haven't just sat down and read what I, you know, how I need to format stuff into is because it's all the reading, which I'm pretty sure Mary Lou will like totally back up because I've done the search and then I saw it was like all this texture and I was just like. It's 12 o'clock at night. My brain isn't going to absorb this. So
well, that's
I have
why,
to have
you know, right, because remember last week what Sudipa said? We had a guest on, and she was talking about the fact that sometimes if you're too tired at night, these things doesn't work well. If you want to do it in a half hour, like at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're exhausted, that's not going to help you. It's wrong.
Yeah.
You have to do it when you're like.
So I need a day where I have like nothing going on.
Well, that would not happen.
Yeah,
that
was never going to happen.
No.
Where I can do it. So I have a feeling eventually I'm just going to have to hire somebody to handle that part of it for me because I just don't have the hours in the day. But yeah, but I've had other people, but because of everything that I do, because I do the magazine, I do the newsletter, I do virtual tours for authors to help get their book out there
and
stuff.
Yeah, you do the book trailers.
So I get asked this, that's why I want to ask Mary Lou this, because I get asked this question so much. And, I mean, yeah, I can give them some answers, but I know that there's so many answers out there and so many different programs and ways of doing things, even though my husband's probably right now sitting there thinking, not according to my wife, there's only her way of doing things. But I do know there are more than just my way. So that's why I wanted to kind of share that because, you know.
So I want to ask you a question about, Virginia and I talked about this last night because now are you, when it might be different where you are than it is here. Now, do you know about Scholastic Book Fairs when they have book fairs?
I do. I actually got in touch with Scholastic, and I believe we're going to discuss including my book, in the fall maybe.
Because, right. I have an email into them, and I left a message because every single school around the United States has book fairs from Scholastic. So people that are self-published are having a very hard time getting into any of the schools or libraries because Scholastic comes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an experience last night where I was at a book signing, and they wanted me to be there, and they asked me to come, but Scholastic was there. And so Scholastic got the library, and I got right outside of the library. And sometimes they won't even let anybody come near them. And after that last night, I thought that was really, really bad. I fought for years for people that are self-publishers, for people to not have such a stigma against them. And when to be at a book signing and they have to segregate me is what they did outside because they really didn't want me to be there. And really looking into this last night, realizing that all the book fairs are done through Scholastic and it's not all their imprints.
Yeah.
I mean, it's from all over the place. Everybody can go there. You know, did you have to get approved through them?
Yeah, well, just generally, as I've been learning about the publishing industry, I've really learned that there is a bad stigma with self-published or authors. And I think that has to change because it's my own opinion. That's where the industry is heading, but it's not really following the trends and technology is way behind.
Over, yes.
Exactly.
In other words, they're missing the boat is what they are doing, and they're missing all these good books. And I've been an agent for years. I can't get people in a lot of times because they just don't want the new authors. They just put the same people over and over again, and there's so many wonderful new authors. And Virginia and I have talked about this, and because I know on my website now I've added, you know, a book review on my website where book reviews from – because we will book review, and Virginia, I'm putting some, Virginia's, I'm not a book reviewer, but I'm putting everybody's book reviews in now because they're self-published, and because I know when people go on sites, they will not put a self-published review on some of the sites, and that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing that now, and it's getting a lot of traffic because I feel the same way you do. It's quite unfair, and people are missing good books just because they say self-published. That's ridiculous. Self-published doesn't mean you threw the book together.
Yep. No, I completely agree. And I think there's so many people that have great ideas for writing books. And our children would benefit from this. We would all benefit from this. But the industry is very tight and very closed up. And it has been very difficult to squeeze in on one side or another. And actually, to be honest, very tempting for me to go to a publisher and try to even talk to them and see how they can help me. I've been tempted once or twice to do that, but
One of the problems is they don't want to help people. That's the problem. They don't.
Yeah.
You can't get you. They really don't. And when you have a good book like you do, I mean, and it's really a shame to have a stigma against it because it's self-published. It's ridiculous. You are a publisher, so you're a small publisher, but you have published this book. So, I mean, I think that if people stand up for this, and this is what I've been doing for years, and now I think the trend, they have to change. Life changes, and I think the publishing companies have to make some changes. They have to update their minds.
I completely agree. I think the stigma, it comes from there's so many different ways to publish, right? And there's different variables, and there's different qualities, and there's different ideas and mindsets. And I think the gate for us just have to open, but the whole industry is definitely making it difficult, and I agree that I would love for a change to come soon.
Thank you for saying that, because it's very nice to hear somebody say that has a really good book, you know, and they're missing it. But there might come a time although I've had people on my shows also that are traditionally published, and they still have to market, and they're not that happy. you know, you have, you are now in charge of everything you do. So you are the boss. So you can go in whatever and do whatever you want, and you can't do that when you are traditionally published.
That's right. Well, that's what I was, when I was researching what to do, I realized that, okay, well, you work with a publisher and they have all they say, and then you still have to probably go out there and hire your own publicist and probably go out there and market your own book and set up and push for what you want. And the honest, this is my honest thought, is that nobody else is going to push your book harder than you will. Nobody else is going to love it as much as you will or represent it as well as you can. So I think that was my belief in going through this, is that you would entrust them with this, and nobody else can do the job as well as you, and you're still going to have to do it anyway.
Yeah, right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, no, I want to say it's so true, and I mean, I have you know, a few authors that I won't say their names, that I'm friends with, that are with some small and medium based publishers, and the publishers are getting more, you know, more recognition and stuff for being, you know, not a big, you know, heavy hitter, and they had a, you know, high, and one of them, their book actually made it onto the New York bestseller list, and they had to hire their own publicist, and we interviewed the author a couple of times in Stories for Children magazine, but now as the book series has gained more popularity, the publisher now is like, well, you have to clear any PR that your publicist is doing through us because their name's tied to it. And so even though you're still marketing your own book and you're with a traditional, even though you're with a traditional publisher, they're even now starting to have their own say on how you do the, you know, publicity because their name's on it. And it's like, so in many ways, I feel like, okay, you're hardly giving any royalties on your book.
Then the publishing company should be paying for the publishing.
Yeah, and they have like sole control on how it's formatted, and now they're having almost sole control of how you, you know, basically promote your book. It's like, I just feel like in many ways, I think it's probably why more authors are starting to go into self-publishing, POD, you know, doing, you know, e-books and stuff, because you're able to keep the control and the creativity and the marketing power more in your hands. And not feel like you're just basically a name on a book that that you just have to be happy with.
And you know, and you're right, because you feel close to that book, and when you go out, but see, then there's another side to it. Sometimes when you go into a store or some, you know, they say, oh, you're going in yourself. It's like, you know, then they think you're not good enough because you're doing it yourself. That's ridiculous. You know, I mean. There, so many of the old methods need to change because they really have to move on. I mean, they really do, and they're stuck in a rut, and that's ridiculous. I mean, if you go with your own book, does not mean that your book is horrible. It just means that you want to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get the job done, and sometimes people hire publicists and have people doing it, and they do nothing for them, and they spend a lot of money, and that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I talk about this forever, you know, because I feel so strongly about this. I've been doing this for years, and my thing has always been writers give up, and you didn't. See, you just went out and did what you did, and that's why I think it's wonderful that you did what you did, and you're speaking up that you did it.
Oh, well, thank you.
You should be commended, because it's true. It's not that it's not easy to do what you do, because you've got a really good book, you're out in the right places. And you did it yourself. Like Virginia's saying, this isn't that easy.
Well,
you did it,
though. And when I do some readings, a lot of the times I have parents coming up to me at the end and saying, oh, you know, like my wife wrote a book or I wrote a book and I would love to get it published. And I tell them every time to email me, and I will pass on everything I learned to them. Because I do want people to feel like, and this is how I feel, if I could do this, if I could actually really do it, and it feels like I did, then anybody can do it. And that's
well,
really
did it.
True.
You did it, and that's the good thing. That's, you know, that's why these shows that we have on radio are so unbelievably good. And, you know, then you can have the link to put on your website. I have it on mine. We have them all over, press releases. And this is how people are getting out there, and people are beginning to realize. And the truth is there's more self-published books now than traditional. You know, we've had many people on.
Yeah, it's because publishers don't want to take as many risks. But even at that, I mean, there's just so many books out there that even when the traditional market, you know, had the heavier percentage out there, I don't think that because a lot of authors had to do their own PR because they obviously the big publishers are always going to focus their biggest, you know, part of the budget onto the known, you know, top-selling names. You know, I think it's incredible when I talk to authors, you know, that they do invest the time and the energy like you are, Mariela, to you know, because you do. It is your book. It's you love it more than anybody else is going to because you wrote it. It's closer to you than anybody. So you are your best marketing, you know, PR person. And I think these type of shows and like doing virtual tours and stuff like that is so important because it helps people realize, oh, you know, because a lot of people just look at the New York bestseller list or they go into a library and look whatever won, like, you know, the Newbery or the Caldecott when it comes to children's book, you know, awards. And it's like, but there's so many other awards out there, which I want to say, didn't your book win an award?
But, I mean, you know, and that's why it does need to change. And a lot of the people that are doing books are, like, you know, they're celebrities. And that's who they're taking, celebrities.
I want to, Marsha, I want to say, I think Meet Einstein did win an award, now that we're talking about awards.
Indie Award.
An
Indie Award, which is great. I mean, and just for listeners who don't know what an Indie Award, well, I mean, they should know what an Indie Award is. It's just like, you know, what an Indie Award is in film. It's an independent, you know, type award, but in the book industry. And I think that's great that you won it for, I can't remember what it is. Best Children's Book. I'm like, I shut my information down just a second ago. There it is. It was winner of the 2010 National Indie Excellence Award for Best Children's Picture Book. So that's great.
And that's wonderful. That's terrific. And this, see, that's why, like, you know, and then people that are listening, the good thing is they can hear this and they can say, well, I can do this too. And you can try. I mean, you can't give up because otherwise we will not have all these wonderful books out there if people stop writing. You can't stop writing. You have to write. And I didn't look at most of us, you know, we talked about this on my show this week, too, about people, you know, sometimes you don't think you're going to do certain things, and you change when you're an adult. I really, like, didn't think I was going to be on the radio. I mean, I've had many people on, they didn't think they were going to be on the radio. They are, and I've done screenplays. I've done things I've never thought I would do. So that's why if you keep your mind open, there's lots of things that we never thought we could do, but we do. And it's great for women to try new things, too.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to bring this back around a little bit to family a little bit because, you know, you have your two kids. You have a third one on the way. Your husband, it sounds like he's a man of many talents, which I think is phenomenal. You're lucky to have him.
Definitely.
So what's it been like trying to balance, you know, basically marketing your book, doing school visits, you know, obviously coming on to these radio shows, what's that kind of been like in the family environment? I mean, it sounds like obviously your husband dresses up like Einstein for you, so obviously we know
right.
He's a
supporter. Right, obviously.
So.
Yeah.
Which is great. But I mean,
well,
I know it can be really hectic.
Yeah, it's pretty hectic, but it's balancing too. And then since I feel like I'm in control of everything that happens, then I can say, you know what, I went through a few months when I was feeling sick, so it wasn't a good time for me to travel. So, you know, I was in control of what kind of how much I put it out there in a sense, and it just happens to coincide with this pregnancy, this third pregnancy. But it is definitely a balance to have two preschoolers at home, and I'm really lucky to have my husband and my mom chips in as well, and it's kind of a juggling act. And I honestly do a lot of work once the kids go to bed, as I think we all moms do.
We all do.
That's like the beginning of my second day.
That's true. We're all up late because we have to be.
Yeah.
We can't fit it all in.
And I want to let you know that you're not the only one out there who's gone through that. When my picture book, Babysitting Sugar Girl, when I was signing my contract, I didn't realize I was pregnant at the time. And then, of course, after I signed the contract and everything got started going on it, I found I was pregnant. And, of course, when it was released for, out and was out there in print, I was just a few months away from having my 14-month-old. And I was like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to go out and market? I am 8.5 months pregnant, and I ended up coming down with swine flu. And it was just like my the whole, like, the launch of your book, which is, like, the most important time to really go at it hard, I couldn't. I was completely in bed going, oh, this is wonderful. So,
well, what can you do?
Yeah, I went through the exact same thing.
I know. And I was, you know, and the thing is a lot of people, you know, I'm not saying, obviously I don't want to, you know, your book's already out, so luckily you didn't have that. But, you know, I mean, if you ever write another book or whatever, I mean, even now still PRing and being pregnant with baby number three, I mean, don't ever think, you know, because I know that you're saying, like, you know, we all are, we're always still learning stuff in the thing. And this is one of the biggest learning things I learned in this industry is, it, you know, just because your book's out or is, and you weren't able to market right away, or it's been out for a while and it's picking up, you know, stamina, and you're not able to be there to market it, it's not going to really hurt it. I mean, just for those couple months, you might see a little bit of a dip, but I was able to come back, you know, within 6 months, 8 months later and hit my book hard and saw my book sales go back up.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised because I thought, oh, you know, if you don't do it right at the, you know, right when it's launching, you know, that you just miss the biggest part, and it's so not true. I mean,
it's not,
here
it's
I am
not.
2 years later, you know, go back and market my book because I realized, you know, it doesn't matter when you do it as long as
the
you
the trends
do it.
Change, and because it really doesn't matter because people's books come out in movies that had done their books 10 years ago, and then they make a movie of it. So it's not something that can't happen for people now. That's a good thing.
Yeah. But I think it's good that you've been a real, you know, trooper and doing all this on your own. My gosh, especially with young ones. I mean, mine are a little bit more spread out than yours are, and every soul looks at me like, I don't know how you do it. I'm just thinking, you got little ones.
Yeah.
And you're doing this all.
Well, I do think if I can do it, anybody can, but it does take a lot of juggling and exhaustion.
Yes. It is a lot of work, but it's worthwhile. It's something. It's a project that you've done and you've completed, and you did a great job at it. And that's good to have. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know. And that's nobody can take that away. And that's why I feel, you know, how it is about just to say, oh, we won't look at your book because it's self-published. But it takes a lot of work, and you've done it, and you are bucking the odds, and that's a great thing because you are out there and getting good PR, and that's wonderful. So, I mean, I think that you should be really proud of yourself to do such a thing and talk on the air for other people that are out there thinking, can I do this? And they can.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
No, I just kind of want to jump in it really quickly and just say, you know, if there's any listeners out there, you know, you're free to call in at area code 714-242-5259 into the Writing Mom and ask, you know, Mariella a question if you have one.
I think she should give her website, maybe Mariella.
Yeah, please share your website with us. I mean, it is down in our on the description section on the show's page, but can you share that with the listeners too so they can find out more about you?
You can go to meeteinstein.com, and on the site there also, I believe it's under the About section, you can find some worksheets that you can download totally free to do activities with your kids, like in relation to Einstein and science, and explain how to do a sun catcher project and draw your own Einstein and help kids get more familiar with him.
Yeah. Now, are you going to do any sequels to this book on any other, you know, using, you know, with Einstein again on any other scientific theories out there? Are you going to touch on some other just scientific theories in general or other scientists? Have you thought about that, like making this into like basically a picture book series on science for kids?
Yeah, I would love to do that. It's definitely been on my mind, but my mind has been taken over.
Right.
My life has been taken over momentarily, but I would love to write more and help introduce kids to more subjects and more science and more interesting people that they should know about and look up to.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it'd be a really fun series, you know, to take on different things. Because the only other thing that I've ever seen that's really been geared toward more, you know, preschool, elementary school age kids, which is a cartoon on TV, which is the Magic School Bus,
mm-hmm.
which my son grew up with and absolutely loved. And, you know, they of course, don't just talk only science, and they cover other things, too. But, you know, they've done stuff with the human body, and I could just, and I just thinking of that particular, you know, kids program, I started thinking there's just so much you could do with this that I could just see it being just a really successful, you know, thing. And as word gets out, you know,
kids are very intelligent now. Kids are, I mean, they're on the internet, they're learning things, they learn it fast at school, and, you know, that's why if they have books to go along with the education, you know, to make it updated, then, I mean, kids will really get into it at a young age. And that'll be great. That would definitely be good. So you're on your way to being very, very successful. You're just taking a little pause right now, which is
that's
okay.
Right.
Now,
we allow for those. We have to.
Yeah. Are you going to be doing any type of, like, visits into any bookstores or anything during the summer months that are coming up? Or are you going to take kind of the summer off and enjoy family vacation, deal with the pregnancy?
I think we're going to take the summer off and hopefully come back in the fall and do some more events. That would be fun for me to do. So
yeah, I think the schools, they're closing it. You know what, by now in May already, starting in May, they're already looking forward to vacation, and it's kind of like...
That's right.
Well, that's awesome. You never know. There's always the local bookstores or local type activities that could be going on, but I agree with you. That's kind of my plan is in June is to take kind of a little bit of a hiatus in June and focus on summer and just getting some relaxation, because I'm just like you. I don't... I get up early in the morning, probably work maybe an hour or two really quickly while the kids are eating breakfast and getting ready for school, and then I don't get back on my computer usually until about 8 o'clock or later at night to do my actual workload.
Right, and that's what happens, you know, and that's what makes these, you know, the night. Sometimes I'm like, I'll go like, oh, it's only 10 o'clock, good. So I have like all these hours, and the next time I look, it's like 2 o'clock, and I go, oh, my God, what happened?
Well, it's been fun having you on the show, Mariella. I mean, your books, like I said, your books are available. My 6-year-old absolutely, she loves it. I have to get back from a kindergarten teacher because she still has it. But
it's good
PR for you.
If you have another book, just tell us and you come on again as soon as you get, you know, whenever you want.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much. Yeah. It's been great to talk to you guys.
Yes, thank
you. We'll give you the link so you can put it on your site. You have the link that Virginia has, and then you just put it on your site, and they can listen to everything that you said, and hopefully we'll learn something.
I'll email you the direct link to the radio show so you can add it to your site for sure. And you know, again, for our listeners, we do have Mariella's website link in the description section of tonight's show, but just so you guys know what it is, I'll give it to you one more time. It is Meet Einstein, it's all one word, .com, and it's an adorable site. She has the same type of illustrations that are in her book on the website, so it's very fun, kid-friendly site, so definitely go check it out with your little ones. I also want to let our listeners know that if you want to get in touch with any of our guests, you can... always look, search for them, you know, through Facebook, or you can get into contact with myself or Marcia just by emailing us here through blogtalkradio.com at the World of Ink Network, and we can help get you in touch with their website pages and Twitter pages and Facebook pages because we do have that information.
And you usually the shows, I was looking to see on my website, it's not here yet, but it will be there. The link will be on my website, which is www.michiganavenuemedia.com. It'll be right on the home page, and then you'll be able to,
And you can also visit the writingmama.blogspot.com, and there is also the media release of tonight's show with all the information as well for Mariella Klein on our show
Monday. Don't you have a show Monday?
Yeah, I was going to do that, which is right on the front of the site as well for the tonight show, and then there's also a link to the tonight show as well in the left-hand column. And then, of course, you can always look for myself, V.S. Grenier, Marcia Casper-Cook, and, of course, any of our other hosts that join us from time to time here on the World of Ink Network on Facebook and Twitter, because most of us have all that.
Right. We're everywhere. We are everywhere. We can be.
And if you'd ever like to be a guest on our show, just feel free to contact us and send us, you know, a little blurb about what you think that you would like to talk to us about on the show, and we'd be more than happy to converse back and forth with you to see if you'd be a great guest for us. And then we also invite you to join us next week on the World of Ink Network. Actually, I guess it would be next week because today's Friday. Sunday, yeah. We have the SSD Magazine. I know. Mm-hmm. It's like it's the weekend, but we're doing a show on Sunday. The SFC Magazine News show will be on Sunday, which is May 1st, which we will be, it'll be myself, V.S. Grenier, and I will actually be with my assistant nonfiction editor, and she's also a book reviewer, Irene Roth, and we'll be just giving you the highlights of the new issue of Stories for Children Magazine, the May issue, that will be on storiesforchildrenmagazine.org on May 2nd. And then on May 2nd is the Stories for Children show with me again, V.S. Grenier, and my co-host, Chris Quinn Christofferson. And we'll be talking with Bobby Hyman, who is actually the featured guest in the May issue of Stories for Children magazine. And then, Marcia, do you have a show?
Yes, I have it on the 10th, but I may be having a show next week on Wednesday or Thursday. But I do have one on the 10th with Sherry Ellis and Jan Britland about self-publishing. And
that's a good story. Yes. Is a good story show.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, it's on at night. That show's
right.
Now my family, it's getting bad. They like when they can't find me, they know I'm on a show.
And then of course
they
every
can find
Friday,
me doing a show,
yeah,
somewhere.
Exactly, and of course every Friday night, doesn't matter which day of the week, is the Writing Mama show with myself, V.S. Grenier, and Marcia Casper Cook. And until next time, we thank you for listening to us here at the Writing
Mama.
Have
a good weekend.
Yes, on BTR's World of Ink Network.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Follow me to the World of Ink.